name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The other Peter and I were commiserating at having to preach on the parable of the dishonest steward last Sunday. Him here at St. Ursula's and me at Neuchâtel in the evening. It is probably the most difficult passage in the Gospels to make sense of. And today we have not one, but three readings about money. Jeremiah buying a plot of land. Someone writing to Timothy and saying, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And then we have the story about Lazarus and the rich man. In fact, there is far more in the Bible about money than there is about sex. And some people might answer, well, that's how it is. The church is always after your money. Well, do you know, every time I go to Migros, they want my money. But nobody complains about that. Funny that. The fact is, though, money and how we use it tells us a lot about our spiritual health. It's a bit like a thermometer, which the doctor uses to measure our physical health. Jeremiah is buying land at a time when Judah is about to be overrun by King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you have land, you can't take it with you when you go somewhere else. Which is what people say about money too, come to think of it. So, to buy this land is an act of faith and trust, a prophetic act. Like that poster, living as though he believes those good times will come when people will buy and sell land and there will be prosperity again. Giving to the church is a similar act. You are giving for the future, perhaps for something you will not benefit from personally and which you may never see, but your children will. In that way, giving to the church is not like buying something for yourself, like buying a packet of Rösti from the co-op. It's more like giving to your children to give them a good start in life. You give to the church so that it will be able to continue its ministry in the future. Even though you may think there are difficult times ahead, and others, let's face it, can't see any point in it. But we have this faith and trust. The famous saying in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, love of money is the root of all evil, is actually saying two things to us. First, money can be misused. Throughout history, people have committed all sorts of evil to get their hands on it. Greed, violence, theft, and so on. People have used money selfishly, or they have used it to buy power over others. The rich man in Jesus' story about Lazarus is a prime example. During his lifetime, this rich man had only thought of himself. His clothes were always smart, so he must have bought new ones quite often. He had more food than he could eat. But he did not even notice his ragged, starving neighbor. And then later, when Lazarus was in heaven and he was in the other place, he realizes Lazarus could be useful to him. And he just assumes he can buy him. He says to Abraham, "Send Lazarus to me. Dip his finger in some nice cool water to relieve my suffering here." The man was not only greedy, he just didn't care. Having money has resulted in all sorts of evil. But, on the other hand, money can be redeemed. It can be used to further God's kingdom. When it is used with righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness, to use that list of virtues in the letter to Timothy. And again, that is what giving to the church achieves. For you are giving the church resources to carry out its mission. And by that I don't just mean the money that goes to missions, both here and abroad. I mean as well the work that St. Ursulus, for instance, does week in, week out, keeping us focused on the Christian life and avoiding the mistakes of that rich man in the parable in Luke. It is well known that churches, Christians, are generous givers to all sorts of good causes. But I would like to think that without that endurance, the repeated reinforcement of God's ways through our weekly worship, that flow of funds to good causes would eventually dry up. Through your giving, you get the chance to be changed from consumers to missionaries. As I said earlier, Jesus actually has more to say about our attitudes to wealth than he does about most other things. If you wanted to diagnose someone's spiritual health, or your own for that matter, the questions you should ask maybe should not be, how often do you pray? Or even, do you read your Bible regularly? But, what do you do with your money? To put it in biblical terms, how much do you love money? As a follow-up to that remark in 1 Timothy 6:10. Or what is your answer to Jesus' question in John chapter 21, verse 15? Do you love me? And if so, how much? Think about these questions when this year's pledge appeal letter arrives in the next couple of weeks. Think about them carefully and prayerfully before you answer. Because remember, your spiritual health depends on it. Amen.